One of the things that we talk to a lot of prospects about is the notion of what we call disposition groups, occupied and vacant. When you have integration with the property management systems like Yardi and so forth, you can do things where Yona moves out of his unit. We know that's vacant. We move that into a vacancy group and we set policies there.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know. Share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further.
Welcome back to another episode of Weiss Advice. I am your host, as always, Yona Weiss, here today with my good friend, Jeff Hawk, all the way from Long Island.
Hello. Good to see you, as always.
What's going on, my friends? Good to see you. Definitely. It's a pleasure bringing you on the show. Pleasure to have conversations with people that I would, anyways, just go out to coffee with and have conversation with on a regular basis. So kind of brings it home. Guys, if you don't know who Jeff is, he is the Chief Revenue Officer at ePropertyCare Care. It is a smart building and smart apartment technology company, really helping a lot of people in the multifamily space and a lot of different people that can take advantage of this. But before you got to that, Jeff, give us a little background. I mean, you're a real estate investor yourself. You do a lot of amazing things. Tell us a little bit about your background for our listeners who don't know. Who's Jeff Hawk?
Sure. So a long, long career in corporate IT, about 25 years, really in the banking and finance industry. In about 2017, decided to pivot, was interested in doing something else, got involved in real estate, first as a real estate agent selling houses, then quickly switched over to commercial real estate with Colliers, big commercial firm. It was around the same time that the pandemic came about. At that point, I had an opportunity to join a friend of mine who was a real estate developer and construction manager that was looking to get into multifamily on Long Island. So joined him for a while. That's when I really got interested in multifamily as a category. When I was working for him, I was doing land acquisition and really getting familiar with zoning and all the regulatory stuff around doing a project. And it was around the same time when the pandemic started that you and I met, and you were offering, you know, LinkedIn training and eventually the weekly real estate meetup, and we've been friends ever since.
So yeah, let's just clarify that for a second. I'm not a LinkedIn guru. I don't have any company. You guys know that. But if you go to Weiss Advice, my homepage at yonaweiss.com, you can actually download a free guide to help you optimize your profile. But what I was doing, Jeff, that time, I've gotten so much on the platform, as you know, and you know, since then, I'm sure you have as well. And yeah, we met there, we became friends, and just amazing how at that time, so many people were just like, okay, we're all online now. Like, what do? How do we take advantage of this? And I'm like, hey, let me just show you guys what I do. And I gave like a free just webinar, just showing people literally just for an hour, just walking through like how I spend my time on LinkedIn. And I think that was where what you're referring to. And that's actually available on YouTube if you go to my channel there. Original webinar.
That was actually the very beginning of our relationship and where I met you. I think it wasn't a short time after that that you said, hey, look, let's start doing weekly real estate meetups. Like I said, I was getting more interested in multifamily. It was kind of like, to me, like a free college class. Every week there's going to be a new professor. Every week we're going to cover a new topic. And I started showing up every week just to learn and get more familiar with the multifamily industry. It was actually about 13, 14 months ago, ePropertyCare Care and Charles Hatzell, the CEO and founder, was the presenter at your weekly meetup. And we got to talking. I asked him a couple of questions like I normally do on the meetups. And within a few days, his team had reached out to me. They're like, hey, we looked into your LinkedIn profile. And we see you have an interesting background in tech and real estate. We're doing smart building technology. Why don't you come and join us? So kind of fortuitous that through first meeting you, following you, joining the meetups, that I ended up, you know, in the company, now chief revenue officer of it and a partner in the firm. So it's been quite a fascinating journey of, you know, it's not just show up, it's, you know, participate when you're there. That's what I encourage people to do.
Love that. I love that story. It's, I mean, and there are so many others like it, but the fact that you've were able to, I mean, like you said, the guy looked at your LinkedIn profile. Had you not been on that LinkedIn meetup, you know, thing that we did originally, your LinkedIn profile would have been pretty, you know, pretty bare bones like most people's are. But, yes, you know, just optimizing it, it stood out. You asked some key questions. You obviously have a great background, but the fact you're able to highlight that in the right way so that people can see that, and you were open to a new opportunity, which is also an incredible thing. So it just, you see, and you know, I call it, you know, it's divine providence, you know, God kind of bringing people together, the right place, the right time. Other people call it different things, but essentially that's what it is. So I love that story, and love the fact that you really enjoy what you're doing now. I mean, you guys are doing a lot. Maybe talk a little bit about like what that is. What is, I mean, people know what tech is. People know what kind of, you know, home, I don't know, what is it? Surveillance systems or smart locks and these kind of things. Tell us a little bit about what it is that the company actually does.
Sure. So we work with owners, operators, and developers of multifamily, also single family rental, single family build to rent. But basically what we do is we look at systems like building access control, water shutoff, video surveillance, and then a lot of the in-unit automation. So things like smart locks, smart thermostats, water sensors, light switches, and outlets. It's really two ways of looking at the solution. When you're dealing at the building level, I would say it's a risk mitigation. You want to have surveillance. You want to make sure people are safe there. God forbid there's a water burst. You want to be able to shut off the water in an emergency situation. Believe it or not, there's some buildings that they don't even know where the water valve is. And of course, these problems always occur at the least opportune moments, you know, when you're on vacation or out of the country or your property manager's on vacation. So you can imagine the disasters that occur when things get neglected. And sometimes it's not for any reason other than the person's just away on a trip and they can't get to the emergency just then. So having the technology, it allows you to do a lot of the things remotely. We use cellular technology and you could be anywhere in the world. You have your mobile phone, you get an alert, there's a high water flow condition, you could take action right then and there, which is amazing. As far as the in-unit stuff goes, it's an opportunity for ownership groups to monetize. Hey, we're improving the property. We're giving the resident the ability to lock and unlock with their phone, raise their heat while they're, you know, laying in bed or before they come home from the office. Same things with lights and appliances. So it's a lot of comfort that you can now provide to people. And it's a path to monetizing and, you know, increasing revenue from the property. So in the multifamily unit world, it's like, sure, we want to do value add. And once you go past the paint, the carpet, the pool furniture, the bushes, a new street sign, what's next? What are you going to do right to get a little bit more out of it? And this is a great path in a lot of properties to get a little bit more and boost your NOI.
So it's by installing these systems that you can actually, like you said, boost your NOI by essentially, I mean, for lack of a better word, just cutting off, you know, the bull at the head, right? You have these problems, preventing problems is really what you're doing.
You're preventing problems in the case of water waste or water damage. You're also avoiding expense. So when you move to a keyless lock, let's say, every time you turn the unit, you don't have to bring a locksmith there to rekey over and over and over again. That gets costly if you're turning, let's say, 20% of your units per year and you're spending $75 to $100 every time you have to bring a locksmith. The other thing that it becomes enabler for is now you could do self-guided tours. You advertise on the website of the property, okay, these are units that are available. When would you like to book it? Kind of like a Calendly, almost like experience. I want to come in Monday at 3 p.m. You get an access code sent to you. You key into the building, you key into the unit, you do your thing. And it just makes it more convenient. You don't have leasing agents sitting there waiting for prospects. And the prospect has the convenience of, hey, I have a particular job or schedule. I can't get there necessarily when you're open. I'm going to get there when I can. So it's a fascinating use case, but it's really taking off in the industry where very, very substantial firms are really leaning into unattended or self-guided. That
sure
is a huge increase in doing it.
Absolutely. I mean, especially with, you know, with COVID, you know, came a lot of people who wanted to get more hands off, and the fact you have people working from home, it just made sense to, you know, to have these self-guided tours and the kind of things like that. The smart locks make a ton of sense. But one thing that I remember, and I think it was when that presentation, when Jeff was on that, when Charles was on the presentation back in the meetup, you know, he was talking about being able to monitor, you know, the temperature and being able to monitor things like that, where, you know, you may get a call from someone saying, you know, there's a problem, like air conditions busted or whatever like that. It's really not. There's just maybe some malfunction. And instead of sending someone out to fix the whole thing, you can actually just adjust the temperature remotely. So things like that, it's incredible.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we talk to a lot of prospects about is the notion of what we call disposition groups, occupied and vacant. When you have integration with the property management systems like Yardi and so forth, you can do things where Yona moves out of his unit. We know that's vacant. We move that into a vacancy group and we set policies there. So what happens is often the porters are going in, they're painting, they're cleaning. Oh, it's hot in Arizona. Let's put the air conditioning on 60. Guess what? They walk out, they forget about it, and stays like that for months. With the technology and the policy setting, okay, there's a polling interval. We look at, you know, what the air is set to. Oh, that's a vacant unit. Move it back to like 69 degrees.
Right.
So we don't have energy waste for months and months and months while the unit is being turned. And that's a pervasive problem in the industry.
Yeah. I mean, right. Exactly. It's, you know, energy waste, but it's expense, you know, huge amounts of expense. When you talk about the water wasting that happens when you have a leak or you have something like that, and you don't even know how to turn it off. You don't know where it's coming from. When you have these sensors in there that you guys put in, you're able to tell exactly where that leak is coming from. So I think you're, like you said, creating a lot of, you know, energy efficiency, and combined with technology, the amazing things that technology is coming up with. Now, are you guys creating these technologies, or something, meaning building these technologies, these apps, and if so, are you creating others along the way, like other certain types of technologies that can help?
Sure. So as far as the systems that we represent, we're an authorized dealer reseller for alarm.com, which is the basic monitoring platform, and then the specialized piece for multifamily called Point Central. They only sell through their dealer channel. So you can't go direct to alarm.com, say, I have an apartment building and I want your systems. They would direct you to a dealer. Our dealership is purpose-built for multifamily. Some dealers are more security dealers or do like fire burglar type of work. We're focused on multifamily. We're focused on single-family build-to-rent, automation systems. That's our practice area. That's what we're known for in their dealer network. If they get a large opportunity for multifamily, oftentimes it'll come to us. So that's how we work. As far as, you know, what else are we doing? The answer is there's the basic platform of locks, thermostats, water, video surveillance. As I've traveled, you know, over the last year talking to tons of owner operators, it's like, hey, we're looking at property-wide Wi-Fi. We're looking at electric vehicle charging. We're looking at developing more mobile applications. The way we're solving for that, we've built out a very robust ecosystem of partners that we could bring into our account opportunities. So if we're working with a new construction opportunity, hey, we need an access control system and door locks and video surveillance. We'll ask them, hey, what are you doing about the property-wide Wi-Fi? Oh, we're interested in that. We'll bring a partner along and they'll specifically work with them on that part. At the end of the day, the goal is to be the one-stop shop for technology, where any concern that they have, EV, Wi-Fi, mobile, we have a partner lined up to do it. And it's interesting, as time is progressing and largely to LinkedIn, a lot of people see what I'm doing. They're like, hey, I want to join. I want to be a partner. I have a company that reached out to me as an example. They have a solution around resident parking or visitor parking. Hey, do you have that? Do you do it? I'm like, no, I don't. They told me about their solution. I'm like, yeah, I could bring you along into certain opportunities. So it's interesting, as we're going further and further and really telling people what we do, more and more ecosystem partners are like, yeah, I want to join what you're doing. Let me get involved with your clients. So that's another way to kind of build some concentric rings around here's our core offering and here's complementary things that we don't do ourselves, but we know could benefit the property.
Yeah, for sure. It's something that everyone is trying to get on the bandwagon, especially when you have people that are buying older properties. They want to bring things up to date. Okay. You know, they're doing renovations, but to make it as modern as possible, right? They want to make sure that the technology is there as well. So it makes a ton of sense. Now, through all this that you've gone through, I mean, obviously you were a real estate broker before, you were working on the development side and things like that. Have you gotten involved? And I think I know the answer to this, but just curious to hear kind of the story. Have you gotten involved on the investing side as well as you've kind of gotten deeper connections through the multifamily space?
Yeah, I have. Myself and my wife, we've done some strategic investments. We did a investment in a deal with the DeRosa Group, a well-known group, 670 unit opportunity. So we went from zero to 670 in a pretty nice leap. The reason why I like them, they were interested in technology. They do see potential fit there. We were looking for opportunities where the groups or the syndicators or owners have a desire to at least give it a good solid look. Not every property will qualify for it, but at least we wanted to be involved in our personal investing with people that are open-minded about it and say, you know what, let me underwrite for it. Let me consider it. Let me give it a shot, right? That's kind of our strategy. We also started a small capital firm to eventually look for opportunities where we could bring the tech along and sit on the team as the people that bring tech into the deal. There's oftentimes specialists, hey, I'm good at construction, I'm good at underwriting. I'm saying, yeah, I'm good at technology. That's how I want to participate in the team. So it's been very, very interesting. A lot of the breakout sessions that I have in different meetups, it's like, hey, how could I fit to your group? What value could I bring to you if I came to that team? So yeah, it is definitely part of our long-term strategy personally.
For sure. And to that point, I think it should be part of everyone's long-term strategy. I mean, investing in fixed assets, especially nowadays when we're recording this, the stock market is having crazy, you know, volatility right now. And hard assets, real estate, especially commercial and multifamily, have always been a great hedge against that. So smart move, I would say. Definitely something that I'm doing myself as well, and definitely encourage everyone else out there to, if you haven't started yet, figure out a way to get involved.
One of the things that I'll say, Yona, and I think one of the things that I really like about the multifamily industry, it feels to me like it's highly collaborative. There's a lot of people on LinkedIn. There's a lot of information sharing. There's a lot of people trying to help one another. Mm-hmm. It was interesting. When I was a commercial broker in a very large firm, I didn't feel that sense of teamwork. I didn't feel that necessarily that sense of collaboration or information sharing. Yes, I had some friends on the team, but it's not like when I'm talking to guys that are investors or developers, the notion of let's help each other and let's all try to drive the industry forward, I very much feel that. And I think that's part of the reason why I love LinkedIn. It's a learning opportunity, the meetups, because it's a collaborative type of industry. I feel like there's a lot of people that are trying to make the industry better. And there's also a lot of new blood coming in. There's younger people that have professional careers. They're leveraging their backgrounds and they're bringing it to this industry. That's what I think is also causing a lot of interest around multifamily and a lot of new players coming into it that have great legal, financial, tech backgrounds that are, you know, driving a lot of the innovation.
For sure. And you see people from careers in so many different areas that are getting involved in real estate. And what that's doing is they're bringing their expertise in previous careers to the industry. You know, whereas previously you may have people that were very solely focused on real estate for, you know, for decades on end, or maybe you had people, and this has always been the case, that have wealth through one business they're creating and putting that money into real estate to kind of, you know, create the long-term wealth instead of, you know, spending it or keeping it in the bank or whatever like that. But what we are seeing, like you mentioned, is a lot of people who are coming from the tech space, especially who have been successful and are transitioning into real estate. Well, guess what? They're bringing a lot of that expertise and a lot of those ideas to try to figure out a way to take this commercial real estate space, which is an industry that for as being successful as it is still like, you know, 20, 30, 40 years behind on so many different areas. So it's incredible to see that transformation I've seen over, you know, just slowly over 5 years or so.
100%. I mean, over the last, I just put a post out this morning on LinkedIn. So I started a podcast also called PropTech Today, where I specifically focus on technology in the multifamily and really commercial real estate universe. The amount of firms that have come onto the scene, vast. Also, the amount of investor money from VCs and large institutional capital to get behind these firms, it's tremendous over the last couple of years. The firms are, some of them are going, you know, via SPACs, but there's a lot of good investment in these firms. That's fueling the growth, that's fueling innovation. It's an amazing space right now. Prop tech as like an offshoot of just real estate in general, super high growth industry right now. I encourage people that are interested in technology and real estate to really look into, you know, broadly prop tech. And then right. There's a lot of different flavors of it.
Yeah, so many flavors. And what it is, it's just basically these, you know, new technologies. And a lot of them are actually coming out of Israel that are ways that to help enhance real estate. So that's prop tech, property, right? Prop property technology. There's an amazing conference that has been going on. Daniel Farber, if you remember him, we had him on the show, and his wife, Via, they host a, it's called PropTech 360 in Israel every year, like an in-person event, which highlights a lot of these different technologies, a lot of these companies, and kind of combining, introducing them and connecting them with property owners and investors. So it's a pretty fascinating time to live in that regard.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, encourage people to take a look at some of the content I put out. They could find it on YouTube or LinkedIn. But I've covered stuff like, you know, video surveillance for properties, Wi-Fi for properties. I did an interview with someone that's doing pet screening. You know, like how do you assess the risk of pets because you've seen a rise of animals on the properties? It's just so many different facets of how people are trying to play here. Resident experience apps, mobile applications. It's really fascinating space. And thank God there's a lot of growth in it right now.
Are you invested in any of those type of companies as well, or just something you're really interested in?
I would not say as an investor at this juncture in a lot of them. One, as an advisor, there's a company that I got involved in related to doing some capital raising for them. I became an advisor. They were looking at underutilized space in commercial buildings, office buildings, white box retail, and saying, all right, we could take these spaces and we can make them into event space, either in like a short term, like daily, or like medium term, like an art show, a gallery experience, brand activation. They started out in New York City. It's called Blace, B-L-A-C-E. And, you know, I'm involved with them as an advisor. They're really doing well, looking at space that was sitting idle. Let's take that and use it as event space, which is a great use. Puts a little bit more revenue back into the ownership groups. And, you know, it was something that, you know, started right before COVID, went down a drop, and now it's coming back super strong. So they're already looking at other markets, and it's an interesting use of space.
Yeah, there's always, you know, space that needs to be utilized. You always have empty space and every type of property that's there. Amazing to see some utilizations. We actually spoke about this at the IMN conference I was at recently in Atlanta about this, and you know, seeing storage as a place to fill in, you know, empty warehouse or empty, even in a multifamily property, you'll have like a empty basement or something like that. You can put storage units there and create more revenue doing something like that. So it's pretty incredible. Yeah. Jeff, I want to transition now what we call the final four. These are four questions I ask all my guests. And the first question for you is, what is the worst job that you ever had?
The worst job that I ever had. I don't know. I spent 20 years in IT. I loved it, but the worst part was when we'd have to do implementations at 12:01 on Sunday morning. So after a nice night of going out on the town, having to wake up at 12:01 to do some code changes or server work, I wasn't loving life then. I would say real estate's given me a better quality of life.
That's crazy. That's just crazy. Like, how do you have a job that requires you to to come in. I guess you need to update servers and things like that. I don't know.
When people aren't using them. So yeah, I wasn't loving life. Right. I wouldn't say it was the overall worst job, but it wasn't the happy day when I, all right, I'm the weekend and I have to do some implementation between 12 and 6 a.m.
Right.
And hurry up and get it done, by the way. If it was like 6:01 and we weren't done, they weren't happy.
Of course. Wow. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a fun job. Second question, what's a book you've read that's given you a paradigm shift?
I love the book from Bob Berg, The Go-Giver. I've gotten in touch with the author. I've met him a couple of times. I was actually on a book club with him. I follow him on LinkedIn. I think what it did for me is it just affirmed the way that I try to live my life in a general sense, where I was giving to people, I was thinking about others, but it really affirmed like the importance of doing it and almost going out of your way to do it, to think about other people, how you could help them. I've done a lot of charity work. To me, I highly recommend it to people because a lot of people are in business about, you know, me, when they realize that if they give to others, they get back exponentially more. And if people would approach that, like, hey, how can I help someone, even a drop, you know, so much comes more back to them. I think that's part of the reason why I'm so attracted to you as a friend, because you live that and embody that. And you tell people all the time, think about other people before yourself. And we're mind aligned on that. So yeah, I love The Go-Giver. Anyone who hasn't checked it out, please do. And follow Bob Berg, B-U-R-G on LinkedIn. He's amazing. He will actually respond to you.
Yeah. I've seen that multiple times.
He responds.
That's awesome. I've seen that many times. And it's so funny. Many people have mentioned this book before and I've seen posts about it like that. And the only reason I haven't actually read it is because everything that I see from, you know, from the posts and the descriptions of it, it's like, okay, I'm doing that already. Like, but you know, it's always good to get some, you know, some chizik, as we say, some.
It's not a true story. It's a parable. So it's written from the perspective of almost like a fairy tale or like an adult, like fable, but it's very uplifting, very easy read, quick for a Shabbat. You know, it's a terrific book. Terrific book.
So we'll put that in the show notes. Everyone go check out The Go-Giver. Okay. Not The Go-Getter, but The Go-Giver. That's awesome. Third question. What is a skill or talent that you would like to learn?
I think the answer is I'd like to go deeper into training and public speaking, you know, to be able to get called up as a speaker, talk about life experience. I am going to do a program about LinkedIn to help real estate professionals. I already put that out, you know, to show some of the things I've done over the last couple of years to double my followers. But I think spending a little bit more time as like a professional speaker, having content, energizing an audience, you know, doing that a bit more.
That's pretty cool. I like that. I like that idea. I mean, it's something that you can actually, you know, really help out a lot of people and just sharing your experience with. So that's awesome. Love that. So fourth and final question is, what does success mean to you?
It's a great question. I've asked it to other people on some of my shows. I think when you wake up and you're excited to do the job, the thing, the activity, that's success. It's not always a money thing. I think money is what I've come to learn. Money is a byproduct of it. Some people tell me it's like a unit of measure, but I wake up every day now and I'm excited to start my day. I go on LinkedIn, I have my friends, I do my thing, I go on my meetups, I go about my business. I feel excited about the work I'm doing. I think we're generally putting value out into the world. I'm happy, right? I just feel happiness and contentment. So I think that's the definition of success. And there's plenty of rich people that are miserable and there's plenty of people that have less that are perfectly content. So
true.
It's really not a money thing. It's a contentment thing for me.
So true. Love that. You know, wake up in the morning, do your thing, get involved, help people. It's incredible. It's a great perspective, trying to just enjoy what you do, enjoy life. And you never work a day in your life, that's what they say, because everything it's great, you know? Love that, Jeff. I really appreciate you taking the time today. Where can our listeners find you or reach out to you?
Absolutely. So number one on LinkedIn, Jeff Hawk, your smart building technology expert. You'll see that. check out our website, www.epropertycare.com, Instagram, jeff.hock.realestate, and on all the channels. I mean, I'm out there all the time doing my thing. So mostly LinkedIn, probably the best way to find me.
That's awesome. Very, very cool. Thank you again. It's been a pleasure catching up with you and giving the opportunity to hear a little bit back about your backstory and about what you guys are doing, because I think this can be helpful to so many people out there.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. And really, thanks again for all the help you've given me in my career and overall your friendship. I really treasure it and love you as a friend.
Thank you, Jeff. Feelings are definitely mutual. And to our listeners, thank you again for joining us, and love you guys for sticking around all the way to the end, because you guys make this podcast possible. And remember, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn. Send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.